Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs here in Greenville or in the greater Greenville area. And just a reminder, as always, if you like this content, then like it. Actually, press that little like button if you're on YouTube. Really easy. Just tap on your screen. If you're on your phone, whatever, you'll see a little thumbs up. Hit that. Would really appreciate it. If you want to leave a comment, on there. I'll respond or I'll at least read it and give you a little reaction. Make sure you subscribe to the show. You don't want to miss any future content like this. That's the best way to do that. Today, I have a special guest. A few months ago, you might remember that I had my first political candidate on the show, Tina Belgi. Now, I've had politicians on the show prior to her coming on, but Tina Belgi ran for Greenville City Council at large and won. And some people, I think, jokingly said that I propelled her to victory with this show. I don't think that that's true. I think she won on her own merits. But I have another political candidate here, and I'll introduce him in a moment, but running for Greenville County Council in District 26. But before I get into our guest, I just want to give the same disclaimer that I gave when I interviewed Tina, which is that having a guest on my show does not constitute endorsement. Now, I'm not in District 26, which is the county council district that we'll be talking about today, so I won't be able to vote for this one specifically. But regardless, I wouldn't be giving an endorsement on this show. And so don't consider anything on here as an endorsement by me or by any of the groups that I'm affiliated with. And I'll just say this as well. If I have a political guest on the show, it's either because I have a pre-existing connection to them or because they reached out to me to come onto the show. Those are my requirements. And I don't, if I have a political candidate or someone that is in office in our state or in our area that reaches out to me, that wants to come on the show, I do everything I can to get them on the show. I don't say no on the basis of party affiliation or anything like that. I think it's good to hear different perspectives. And part of that is because my political beliefs are, quite frankly, pretty amorphous. And I don't think that there's any politician in our area that I agree with 100%. And I'll just say as well, I'm not going to be super disagreeable on here. If you want to get that kind of content, go to, you know, mainstream media, go on TV to CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or whatever. You'll get plenty of disagreeable political content. We're not going to do that here. We're just going to have a good discussion about Greenville County. And so without further ado, I am interviewing, if you're watching on YouTube, you already see him, Daniel Rumfelt, who is running for Greenville County Council District 26. So Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you allowing me to come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Daniel, I'm just going to let you have the floor here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for Greenville County Council.
Well, Stan, I grew up here in Northern Lawrence County. I was born there, raised, and went to school there. And my wife and I, my kids, moved to Southern Greenville County, District 26, about 14 years ago. And ever since then, you know, we've liked to call this area our home. You know, grew up in the area, we all did. And my kids attend the schools around the area, Woodmont Middle, Woodmont High School. And I take the area very, very sensitive whenever things affect our community with issues and stuff like that. And that's kind of the reason why I'm running. I have different business ideas that I would like to bring to county council. You know, there's a time when you can campaign and then there's a time to govern. And I really feel like that we need a different approach for South Greenville on a lot of issues affecting Greenville and our area in particular. And I hope to win the election on June 9th in the Republican primary.
Absolutely. So probably, you know, we say these districts, even I, as politically involved as I am, I tend to be like, mm-hmm. okay, where's that district? Where's this district? If you're looking on YouTube, I'm going to actually pull up a map. But for the listeners, we're not going to leave you in the dark here. So, Daniel, can you describe for the listeners exactly where District 26 is? And if you're looking on YouTube, okay. It is kind of this right. darkish yellowish color here in the south end of Greenville County.
All right. So a little bit of geography lesson. I love geography in school. So if you look at a map of Greenville County, the southern part of the county, if you see 385, all the way up through Simpsonville, Fairview Road, and points westward, towards the county line with Anderson, is pretty much all District 26. That covers the Piedmont, South Carolina. Most of the Piedmont area on the Greenville County side goes all the way up to the toll road, the toll road I-85, and all the way down to the bottom corner in Princeton, South Carolina, right there at the tri-county corner. So it is one of the biggest districts in the county, with around 42 to 46,000 folks living in the, and it's growing every day. You know that. Growing every day in the Simpsonville and Fountain Inn area.
Oh, yeah.
And so like I said, that is a big area.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a huge district. And in terms of, you've got people spread out. And what's interesting about Greenville County is the county really is quite large. And so you've got, what's it, 12 county council people
Right.
covering this huge land mass. And the issues are different for all the different people in these different areas, right? Because if you're in a, in a more dense, Greenville City kind of part of the county, like that's a completely different type of, they're facing a lot of very different, some similar, but a lot of very different issues than what the constituents in District 26 are facing.
Yes, Dan. I've started door knocking across 26 about a month and a half ago, and I could tell you at the front doors, talking to the people across our district, you could almost see a one unified voice about what the main issue is, and of course that's infrastructure and roads. But you have other issues. The further south you get in the county, you have police presence. Folks want more police presence towards the county line with Lawrence. Then you go to the west, folks want more controlled development, towards Piedmont and areas around Fork Show. So it is a vast area with different opinions that face with different issues. But as you know, and everyone in Greenville knows, that infrastructure, it seems to be the biggest complaint that everyone shares.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually the perfect segue into one of the main topics that I wanted to talk about, which is
Okay.
infrastructure, but also growth, right? Because those two things are tied
Right.
at the hip. And that is
Yes.
everything that people want to talk about when they're talking about Greenville County, Greenville City, Simpsonville City, Malden City, City of TR, all of these different places. So this is obviously a real estate podcast, but it just so happens that growth and infrastructure are directly related to real estate here in Greenville. So
Right.
I'm going to paint a quick picture here and then I'll let you kind of give your thoughts.
Okay.
So the push and pull when it comes to growth, as I see it, is that there are people who are moving here and our area is obviously growing. And without that growth, quite frankly, the past 30 to 40 years, Greenville wouldn't be the thriving community it is today, right? I heard I was in a small group session with the mayor, Mayor White, a few months ago, and he said that there was a time, this is crazy to think about, there was a time in downtown Greenville when he knew every individual that lived in downtown Greenville by name. There were so few people, it was like less than 20 people that lived in downtown Greenville. Now, there were still people that would go through, would shop and whatnot, but nobody was living hardly at all in downtown. And it was growth ultimately that allowed downtown to become what it is today. And obviously that's Greenville City, right? That's different than what we're talking about. We're talking about the county. Greenville City has been more positive towards growth than the county has in a lot of ways. And to that point, from my perspective, what I have seen is that the loudest voices in Greenville County are anti-growth. They're tired of more apartments, they're tired of more homes. As it is, the county council chairman ran with signs that said we need more parks, not more apartments, something like that was on his campaign signs. And of course, as you said, people are rightfully concerned about the infrastructure that can't keep up. But again, I'm not trying to steal your thunder here, but I'm going somewhere with this. There's a secondary issue, and this is the one that's near to my heart that a lot of people don't understand, and that's if we build more parks and not apartments, not houses, then housing becomes more expensive. And statistics are constantly showing that it's already unaffordable for people to buy a home until their late 30s at the earliest, and the cheapest housing right now is actually new construction, on average. So if we stop building in order to slow down growth, ultimately we're messing up the supply-demand dynamics and causing supply to be decreased while demand, if we're not stopping demand, then we're causing prices to go up, which is exactly what's been happening now for several years. So all of that whole picture I just painted, how do we balance the need to continue to grow and to continue to build housing to accommodate that growth while also building out our infrastructure and keeping the anti-growth crowd from screaming every month at those county council meetings as they like to do?
Well, let's start with that's a lot
I
to
know that was a lot, so you can
digest.
wh however you want to whatever angle you want to take on that, go for it.
Oh, okay. So, in my view, the way everything needs to grow. If what's the opposite of growth? Take a ride, take a trip up to Detroit, off the north side of Detroit. You see what the opposite of growth is.
Sure.
An area is just like a body. You got to breathe in and it breathes out. You got to keep the flow of jobs. You got to keep the flow of folks moving in, going, and coming. So, to be successful, I'm a huge proponent of inland development. Build neighborhoods, not quick developments. Build neighborhoods. That's what the Planning Commission would like to see, is more mixed-use mixed-use developments. And I don't believe that we spreading out through rural areas is actually the answer to here for our housing crisis, because when a developer comes further south where land is cheaper at, I mean that should be a red flag for everyone, because if a developer wants to bring his homes out where the land's cheaper, you should be for inland development. You should support folks developing where infrastructure already is, because county roads are not up to par to handle 30,000 additional traffic to these
Sure.
county roads. So if you support rural areas, if you support parks, if you support trying to maintain Greenville County's identity as being green, you need to support development in areas that's suited for it. You can't say no to development, but you can be smart about it. And we need to put guardrails in areas that already have the infrastructure, so we can bring in families that want to move here and help the area grow according to our plan that we see in the future.
So do you think that what do you say to those that are just like, well, even outside the rural areas, the infrastructure can't support additional growth?
Well, outside the area, and you still see growth. That fault is on the leaders now. We can prevent growth coming into the rural areas by creating conservation districts. Scopletown started one about 10, 20 years ago, and inside those conservation districts, we can actually have our own LDRs, our land development regulations. And in those LDRs, we can actually tell a developer, hey, you're not going to put a home on 6,000 square foot lot, inside this conservation district. Whatever the community that we sit down together and decide how much land is enough for one dwelling unit. So, we could go up as high as 42,000 square foot, a little under an acre, maybe three quarters of an acre. If a subdivision wants to come to the rural area, it has to follow our regulations for rural living. And there was attempt several years ago to try to do spot zoning, and I'm a huge against any kind of spot zoning because once that area is zoned, it is zoned forever. And I think zoning is the wrong direction to go to. I feel like that we have the means already to control development with our LDRs, and they are. I'll give you this. They are confusing to a lot of developers. They're confusing to a lot of people in Greenville County. And but we need to get the right people in the right positions to help ease and to make things easier so everyone can better understand our goal. Right now we have no direction with development. You know, we appealed the UDO earlier last year. I mean, the UDO was part of Greenville County was set to streamline a lot of to kind of clarify a lot of issues that
That's right.
developers are having. But
Do you want to
we
explain that to I covered this a little bit with Tina Belgi when she was on here because she was a big part of that UDO. I don't know if everyone knows that, but do you want to explain that real quick for the listeners what that is or was?
So the Unified Development Ordinance was actually put in place to streamline, to clear up a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of gaps that our current LDRs have at the moment with zoning, with the subdivision committees and all of that. It's so jumbled right now that the UDO was supposed to combine them for a better a guardrail for development. Well, I will give this. There are some things in that UDO that need to be revisited, some things I didn't agree with. And the whole way the UDO was written should have had more citizen input, should have been open to more input from councilmen. And but right now I've seen a few reports that they want to revisit and go back to bring it back. And so it confuses me while we keep there's no direction right now. For development, it's like we're being pulled in so many directions, but there is no one voice telling us how to go forward. And the
Do
UDO,
you think that's by
great.
design by the current county council, or do you think that it just happened that way, without people trying to do it that way?
I think it just happened that way. I think a lot of times, and these UDOs, these LDRs are so confusing, even to staff, even to county councilmen. And I really feel like that it just got off the path. And I think that we need to get back on the track, and we're not on track yet. We got to get in with what we can do with development. We got to get with the planning commission and see what their goals are. We got to see what council's goals are, and on top of that, we got to respect property rights. When you buy property, you don't want your neighbors telling you what to do with your property. But as long as you're going by the law, you shouldn't have a an issue with that. And we're seeing issues to this day that the UDO would have prevented. We have a car wash issue across the county. There's car wash issues, development issues. The UDO addressed that. So there was a lot of good that we had in the UDO, and then we had some stuff we needed to fix in it. It wasn't perfect, but we could have fixed it instead of just completely dismantling it. So I'm the kind of guy, Stan, that I'm going to tell you not I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm not going to try to tell you just to be nice to you. I'm going to tell you how it is. And frankly, we got to get some kind of direction going for development. There is no direction. There's two or three studies, taxpayer dollars and studies on how to do things, and we're going to try to contradict what the studies are doing. So you're what so I'm like I was saying, I'm going to tell you how it is, because this is the reason I want to run, is because a different business approach. Listen, appeal to a higher authority on especially taxpayer monies and taxpayers. Listen to what they want and try to guide them in the correct direction for saving rural property and growing at the same time at a responsible rate.
Absolutely. So let's just talk, just like sometimes I can tell that you're a policy wonk, which is great. That suits me. Probably not every listener is what most listeners just want to know about is, well, what are we doing about the growth, right? Besides, UDOs and all of that. What would you say if If a listener came on here, let's just say I've randomly selected a listener, I had them pop on while we're recording this, and they said,
Right.
we need to stop all housing development like entirely. Greenville is growing way too fast. Just do a moratorium, flat moratorium on all housing. The infrastructure can't support it. Like, what would you say to someone like that?
Well, I'll say, well, where do you want my son to buy a house at? I want my kids to stay near here. I want my family to stay around here if they go out to buy a house. And what if a family down the road wants their kid to build a house behind their parents' house and you want to stop that? You can't stop building homes because it's not the property owner's fault that
Sure.
your government has not set up an LDR or any kind of guidance on development. I know Easley, I think Easley tried to do something like that, but their issues they had were completely different from what Greenville County is facing.
Sure.
I really don't know outside, in the states where they completely stop you from building. I think they do that in China, or they have done that a few times in Soviet Union. So I want to kind of
There's
shift to
been,
national issues.
yeah, there the moratorium, there's been a few moratoriums on city levels around here. Typically they
Yeah,
don't
the
last
sit
super long.
yes, but the county, like I said, needs direction on it, and I do not believe a moratorium is it the answer for that,
So what do we do
because
about the
you
infrastructure though? What how do we, because that's
know,
the concern, the sewer, the roads,
yeah,
Store, I hear people in Simpsonville talking about stormwater. What do we do about the current infrastructure? Because that's what people are being told, and they're telling others, well, we don't have the ability to do this. And county council for the past several years has basically been like, yeah, that's our stance as well. So I'm curious what your stance is on that.
So, being a leader, either in the state or a local, you need to follow the laws, not just in your local level. You need to follow the laws of the state and know what the state is suggesting or the state wants to do. With that being said, I will, if elected, I will never raise property tax because of infrastructure. Greenville County is big enough, has enough of people, and have enough of visitors to where we can actually sustain a consumption fee, a consumption revenue to fund infrastructures. And the issue with that, a dedicated revenue stream that would help maintain our county roads and help repair them, build them, and extend them is exactly what we need. So when folks come to Greenville County to eat, to shop, to play, I feel like that they should help contribute to the infrastructure that they use. And instead of it falling on mine and your backs only, we look at the NCAA tournament that comes to Greenville. How much money does that bring into the county? Or
Yeah.
look at Black Friday. You see how much money that folks are out here on Fairview Road in Simpsonville or Woodruff Road spending. I mean, for Christmas, I mean, that money there, I did the math for one day would have bring in at least a quarter, almost $100,000 on one day to help fix the road. So I don't really feel like moving money away from other resources in our county budget is the answer to fix a countywide problem. Other areas are depleted already, so you want to take what little they already have away because you feel like that they are not as deserving because of your past experience with them,
Yeah, what are we going to take it away from? Police? We're going to take it away from teachers? Like, who are we going to take it away from? The fire department?
right? So, well, you just opened a can of worms there, but
Yeah, okay. We can come back to that maybe.
yeah, right, but
So,
like I said, we you go ahead.
no. Go. If you, sorry, I wasn't sure if you were done.
Yeah, we have a we need a good direction with development in Greenville County, and we need to have a better business decisions. And I know everybody has their own opinions. You got 12 opinions up on council, and you have Everyone wants to go their own way, but you got to have a unified direction, and there is not one right now.
Yeah,
And
for sure.
we need to have the correct people in the correct positions starting now going forward. We have our 10-year comprehensive plan coming up here soon that the state may requires every county to have. So in, within the next 2 years, probably the next 1 year, county staff is going to begin getting stuff ready for all that.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, you know, because that sets the course for many years, assuming that it's actually followed, and not scrapped, you know, like the UDO was. So some of what you were saying made me think about, and I'm not going to ask you to take a position on this on the show because I said there'd be no gotchas, but we need to talk about the penny sales tax just for a moment here, okay? Listeners on my show know that I came out in favor of that, not because I'm pro tax. I'm actually pretty anti-tax in general, but I'm pro we need to fix roads. And I could tell that that wasn't going to happen in the absence of additional money coming in. And so I've talked to you a good bit about the penny sales tax. So I'm not going to rehash all the things about that. But obviously, I'm sure you know, Severn County Council, including the incumbent for District 26, spoke out against the tax and encouraged people to vote against it. And it failed by a very small margin. And most likely, those four plus county council people that spoke out against it and went to the media and all of that likely were the tipping point.
Right.
So, what's interesting to me is that then county council did kind of a classic, in my opinion, a classic political maneuver by then saying, well, we'll look at impact fees as a way to bring in more tax revenue. Now, I say this is a political stunt because impact fees are essentially a tax on developers when they build a house that then gets passed along to the homeowners, increasing the cost of home ownership, which is why I'm discussing all of this. So studies have shown that, you know, a $5,000 impact fee, for instance, increases the cost of homeownership by roughly $15,000 to $20,000 after it's all said and done, which in my experience as a realtor is often enough to prevent a first-time home buyer from being able to buy the home that they really want versus the home that they have to settle for that might be smaller or kind of in an area that they really didn't want to be in. You know, now they have to commute an extra 20 minutes, and we don't have much public transportation in Greenville, which is probably something we need to get to in this show, because I know that that's something that you've talked about a little bit. But obviously, this maneuver of saying, well, we're not going to increase fees on, you know, sales. We're not going to increase the sales tax. We're just going to tax the developers. Obviously, that was some red meat for the anti-growth crowd, right? That's exactly what they want to hear because they don't understand. Most of them at least pretend like they don't understand that this actually is a tax that's paid by home buyers. Not the developers pay it up front, but they get all that money back eventually. There's a reason why here's one thing people don't understand. Well, let me say two things real quick. First off, realtors don't just want indiscriminate growth everywhere. We talked about this pre-show. We don't want Greenville to turn into Manhattan. No, nobody wants that. But we do want home ownership to be as affordable as possible, and the simplest way to do that is to increase supply of homes that are out there, which can only be done with construction. And there's a reason why, when we talk about impact fees, the National Association of Home Builders, which has a presence in Greenville just like they do everywhere else, they don't care. You know what they say when the impact fee discussion gets brought up? Well, we're still going to sell homes. We're still going to make money. They don't care how much the home buyer, you know, my children, your children, what they pay, because they know that they're going to get their money. So I think that that's very telling. When you actually talk to the people that are controlling development, I shouldn't probably say controlling it, but the people that are lobbying for development, let me say it that way, in our area, they don't care about impact fees. So that tells you everything you need to know about whether they actually hurt developers or not. But where I'm going with all of this is that last month, Greenville County Council kind of got egg on their face when a consultant that they had spent 6 months consulting with and spent thousands of dollars paying to explore what they could do with impact fees came back and said that impact fees are not a good idea for funding roads and other forms of infrastructure, in part due to a lack of additional tax revenue, like the penny sales tax would have brought in, the very thing that members of county council grandstanded against. So again, I'm not going to ask you if you were for or against the tax unless you want to volunteer that, but I wouldn't recommend it because you're going to have people that hate you on either side. But all of this, the way county council acted with regard to, like you said, revoking the UDO, then going, saying that we're going to put on the ballot this penny sales tax, but we don't want you guys to vote for it. And then saying we're going to study impact fees and spend all of this money trying to figure out what we can do with them, and then only to be told you really can't do any, you can't use the impact fees. Like I think the study, I've read a little bit of it. I didn't read the whole thing, but it basically said it's helpful for like sheriff's departments and a few other departments, but for infrastructure, it's not physical infrastructure. It's not a good idea without additional revenue. So it just seems very chaotic, like there's no direction to your point earlier. So, what, if anything, could County Council have done better with regard to all of this? Or do you have any ideas for, like, here's how I would have handled that?
Right. Well, in reference to the impact fee study that you had mentioned earlier, they did recommend if we did impact fees, it would be on SPDs. The fire districts might can implement that for newer facilities, newer needed apparatuses or battalions. Then there was a recommendation for the sheriff's office if they want, they're going to need to get more space in the future. But I believe the city of Greenville moved out of the old annex building, and now the sheriff's office is able to take over more room. So I think the need is not as dire as it was before that. What an impact fee, like you mentioned, is that you can only use it on capital projects, and that would be building a new building for the sheriff's office, or if you're in a school district, a capital project would be building a new school. But it gets tricky. It gets really tricky when you try to do infrastructure like roads for impact fees, because it can only be near the development itself, there's more to it with that. And a lot of municipalities are kind of getting away from that because there's so much legality in using impact fees. And on your point that it does pass on to the home buyer when they buy a home, or if what if someone is not in a neighborhood or subdivision that we want impact fees to go to? What if it's someone down the street that the nearest neighbor is about a half a mile down the street? He has to pay impact fee, but that fee doesn't, So to get back to your point about, what would I have done different, I'm a numbers guy, Stan. I'm a huge numbers guy, and numbers don't lie. And that folks, say that there's money in other places to fund infrastructure. There's money in other places, and there's only Greenville County's budget. It's only $4 million that money's going to other things in our budget. $4 million, and that's it. And
It's
our
about what,
majority.
$1 million per road, basically, or per mile, something like that, roughly.
So it was interesting too, and what's fascinating is that after going over the budget, if you take time to understand the numbers, and if you actually understand accounting, because it takes, then I believe me, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a CPA or anything like that. It does take someone that knows how to read government budgets to understand what it's saying,
Sure.
and numbers, you could play around. Right now, I think our only source, I think the majority of Greenville County's revenue is on property taxes. That is all Greenville County gets is property
Yeah.
taxes. It's only re and then there's like, I think maybe like 15, 20% is like other fees from code enforcement and marriage license and driver's license and getting, what I would have done different is that if the messaging for the penny sales tax was was not great. I mean, I think we shouldn't have messaged a penny sales tax because it wasn't a penny. I mean, you should have just said
Right.
1% sales tax. You know, if you
Sure.
had done that, I also let folks like you and me on that commission to pick the roads. You know, I feel like we could start this whole process over again, and with the help of staff, but with folks like you and me. If you want to be joined into the commission, you know, we got commissions to help pick the roads and the tiers of roads that get fixed with the penny sales tax. Let my neighbor be one, or let the guy across town be one. But somebody that's not associated with Greenville County or associated with developers, or let's get those people, the citizens of Greenville County, on the commission to tier the roads
Sure.
to prioritize projects, and then put that. What they decided to do, put that on the ballot and have people like you and me vote on that, on a 1% sales tax for infrastructure, and just clear the messaging up. You know, you don't have to always go full force in that. You can actually just be honest with people. That's all people want, is just be honest with them.
Yeah.
You know, don't be the politician. Just tell them where the money's going and get people like them in the commission, you know. So that's what I would have done different, you know. Instead of spending a year or 2 years trying to figure out infrastructure and taking philos away from fire departments and school districts to try to field a county-wide problem is just not the answer.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I know that's I know from having researched some of your stuff going into the show, I know
Yeah.
that's a big deal to you. So you want to
Right.
explain that to the listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stan. So, back in the end of last year, council voted to move the philos to put it into the infrastructure fund,
Can you
basically
explain
to
to
fix.
people what the philos are?
So, a fee in lieu of taxes is basically given to a company or a development that comes, mainly an industry that comes to the area, and it basically cuts their 10% tax rate, which is in our state constitution for whatever reason. We're one of the highest tax for industry and commercial in the entire Southeast, and it's in our constitution. We can't do anything about it. Only folks in Columbia can. So as Greenville County tries to make it easier to be taxed, because I'm for lower taxes, so I don't understand folks that's arguing against philos, because philos is lower taxes for everyone. You
Right.
know, your neighbor pays 4% when the business comes down, and they drops from 10 to 10 to 6. I believe it's 10 to 6%. But anyhow,
I
that
believe you're
the
right. Yeah.
Yeah, 10-6%, and the philo is actually designed to help the infrastructure in the area around the development itself. That's my view on a philo. So you have school around that to help with the influx of people to move to work at the plant. You have the fire districts have to use that money to help bring up the code and help train and get more fire equipment to protect a bigger facility, such as Isuzu is coming, looking to bring around 900 jobs to the area. So but believe it or not, that philo money is not going to go to the fire station or the school district in the area for the families and for the people that's coming for to work there. So it's actually going to go fix a pothole somewhere in Tigerville. So my whole problem with that is that, yes, we have a roads problem, but fixing our roads should not mean that we're creating three other problems at the same time, you know. There is means that we could do this, but we just don't have the direction that we need going forward to fix the
Sure.
problem.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and it's been interesting as well to see the philos have this was more of a talking point a few years ago, but they were kind of weaponized a little bit, right? It was like kind of like Greenville County Council, it used to be that it was like kind of a rubber stamp kind of thing where it was just like if you met certain criteria. And I can't remember exactly if that was a part of the UDO or not, but if you met certain criteria, you just got that, right? And then all of a sudden it became kind of a, well, now we're going to start picking winners and losers. Like county council should have the authority to do that. And, I'm a big private property rights guy. Sounds like you are as well. Like that just really bothered me to hear that they're, that that was the direction that our county was going in, is that they're going to decide who the winners and losers are in terms of, what developers come in here and get these, these sorts of tax breaks, and how these things, how all this money gets allocated. It was just, it's just not a system that I think should be designed where like a few county council people can kind of hijack it, which is the way it seems like it's gone.
Well, that's why voting in primaries is very critical for everyone, and I encourage your listeners to make sure you vote June 9th. In the Republican primary, or if you attend to the, your voice makes so di much difference in June, especially on the Republican side, because whoever wins normally the primaries, and if you're in a very red district, you're automatically going to win in the general election. So it's important that you study the candidate and you see what kind of knowledge he has to bring to council. Do you want him and his knowledge to represent you in Greenville with these new companies, developments with infrastructure and future ordinances that come to the across the dais? So you got to really weigh in the options that you have there, what you have now versus what you could have in the future. And getting back to the winners and losers comment about the philos. Now, granted, I am also a winner loser kind of guy. Like, for example, right now, data centers is kind of a hot topic for a lot of places right now. And I actually propose, I wish that we would pause development for those for about a year in Greenville County, primarily because I want to know what Columbia is doing. Columbia's got probably four or five different bills, different studies going on about how they can environmentally, should they be under NDA when they go before county council? Like, should we be more transparent with just that particular industry so folks could know what's coming to there? And the whole NDA is another issue with developments because they don't want the trade secrets. They don't want the trade secrets to get out to other competitors. So I understand the whole NDA issue, but you also have to respect the privacy of everyone, even businesses. But that's why Columbia is looking at this right now, and I don't feel like that we should be approving that kind of industry if Columbia wants to say, hey, you got to have we got to change our environmental regulations for data centers. We don't want these data centers to be this close to a school or a residential area, because you've got that going on right now up in York County with the whole solar and Spartanburg. You got Spartanburg having issues with data centers. So really we need to take a pause on that so we could get better guidance from Columbia, because like I said, we don't know the 20-year effect of a data center. What's going to happen in 20 years? What's going to happen to the energy issues? I know at the national level, the Trump administration is actually trying to push for more data centers because of the current AI race with China and overseas. So I get that we need to try to keep our data here on the homeland. I understand that, and I know he's really for self energy for these data centers to generate their own energy, and that's something also to be looked at. So South Carolina is looking at all that right now, and I feel like we need to just pat tap the brakes, temporarily on these data centers so we can get a better guidance on where we could put them.
Well, I'm hoping, and I don't know how many years away we are or if it'll ever happen, but this whole idea of putting them in space sounds like a really great solution, I guess, maybe. I mean, at some point we might have rings like Saturn, around Earth because of all the junk we're putting in space, but at the moment it seems okay. But I don't know. I don't know if that's gonna ever come to fruition, but if we could get those things off of Earth and just have them constantly getting solar from the sun, and that would obviously be the dream, but I don't think you're going to find too many people that disagree with you on the data center question. I have you I'm curious, have you spoken to any other people on county council about that one currently on county council?
No, not right now. No, I mean,
Okay.
I made a post about it, public post about it, and I'm pretty sure they've seen it. But outside of that, I didn't write any of them about it or anything like
Okay.
that.
Yeah. I was just curious because that's certainly a hot button topic right now. And, for my purposes, is it a private property issue? Kind of, but at the same time, I think people still have a lot of other options for, if they want to sell land to a developer, there are a lot of other options for other developers that should probably be able to compete, with whatever a data center developer would be offering for land. Which brings me to a point, and one of my final questions here before I let you go, because we've gone for almost an hour here, and I try to keep these to about, usually they end up being about an hour, which is usually a sweet spot for these interviews. But I'm gonna pull up your district map again here real quick. Can you see that?
Yes, I see
Okay.
it.
All right, perfect. For a second, I couldn't even see it myself. So let me see here. Give me one second. Zoning, here we go. So your district, so if you're on YouTube and you're watching this, you can see that I've got a map of the lower portion of Greenville County. There's a lot of color on it, except along the, I guess that's Anderson County border, and then the southernmost portion of Greenville County is more or less unzoned. This is the second highest concentration of unzoned land in Greenville County, second only to the very northernmost part of the county from what I can see on here. So a few years ago, County Council voted to restrict landowners in unzoned areas from developments that require septic tanks unless they make those development lot sizes at least 1.5 acres. So if you own unzoned land and you want to put a subdivision on it, and that subdivision requires septic tanks, your minimum lot size is 1.5 acres, which is three times what the state requires. Obviously, this was applauded by the anti-growth crowd that we've talked about a few times here. And the environmentalists loved it as well. An interesting little right and left commune, as it were, happened over this specific issue. But as a realtor, it concerns me in a couple of ways. One, the precedent, not president, as in President Trump, the precedent concerned me that if county council can just impose unilateral restrictions on unzoned land, then isn't that functionally zoning the unzoned land without going through the zoning process, right? That's one question. And as part of that, don't people buy unzoned land specifically so that government can't tell them what to do with it, right? That's kind of the whole idea. I mean, I've sold land multiple times, and that's a big deal to people. They're like, I want no restrictions. I want to be able to do whatever I want on this land, and including to be able to possibly develop it or sell it to a developer. And my second concern is obviously on the property values portion of it. Obviously, developers can't make money building 1.5 acre lots anymore. Like maybe there was a day when they could do that. There's a handful of neighborhoods in Greenville County that have those larger lot sizes, but that was back in the day. So let's say that you own 100 acres, which I don't know if you do or not. I don't, but let's just say theoretically you own, 100 acres, 200 acres, whatever, and you plan to pass that along as an inheritance to your children, which is what I hear from a lot of people. There's been this land in the family, and that's going to be their inheritance, a big part of their inheritance to their children. Well, it's only as valuable as what you can use it for at the end of the day. And if it can't be developed for residential purposes, then it is obviously way, way, way less valuable than it was prior to this unilateral ruling with zero oversight by Greenville County Council. So, I'm curious what your thoughts. Obviously, you know what my thoughts are. So I've kind of showed my hand, and I'm fine if you disagree with my perspective, but I'm curious what you think about that.
Right. Well, the primary reason for doing the 1.5 acre for a septic tank for a home is in unzoned areas is typically the rural areas. And a lot of folks that live in the rural areas have been there for generations, or folks that don't want to live in the city. So this implemented was to try to save the type of living there. And when you come to the comment about, well, is this sort of like the regulating land without the zoning? I wouldn't necessarily say it was regulating as much of as it's a guide, a development guide in unzoned areas, because really we want to protect what's most important to our county, and that's our natural resources in our county. From you followed the whole Paris Mountain incident they had up there with the hotel they wanted to bring to the mountain. And then we got sensitive areas across the county that we want to protect, like the Fork Shows area. We really want to protect that area because it's got a rich history of agricultural, and we want to protect our farmlands through there. So I wouldn't necessarily say it was an attempt from the government to regulate it without zoning, but I think it's more of a development guideline. We don't want a major subdivision come in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a cow field, and next door you got two other cow fields. As a rural area, we live in a rural area. We don't want to see that, because when we wake up, we want to hear the roosters crow, and we want to see the cows outside. But no, I don't believe it was a way to bypass zoning. I just feel like it was a way to guide development. We're fine if you want to live like we do, but we actually want to maintain a sense of privacy out here. We respect our privacy. We respect others' property rights, and we just don't want that. That's just uncharacteristic for our area, is to have a major subdivision, with that much. And that's why it was put in. They're not so much as a deterrent, but more to make a developer realize that, hey, I'm not going to get my money's worth by coming down here, because if I had to put a house on every 1.5 acre, I'm going to put more than, I believe it's six. If it's over six homes, dwelling units coming to it, you have to go by that. So if it's a minor subdivision, if it's a mixed use, you don't see mixed uses down in those unzoned areas. But as earlier we mentioned, that I'm all for mixed use development up towards the city, and that would actually reduce traffic if we do mixed use. Folks won't have to drive so far to the bank if we had, or a grocery store if we had mixed use,
Sure.
more mixed use development. So, but that all goes down to just the way of life we have down here is privacy. We like our privacy up in northern part of the county and the southern part of the county. The bigger cities, Greenville, Greer, Fountain Inn, Simpsonville, all those areas are primed to be neighborhoods, and we want that. We want, as a rural resident, I want neighborhoods, but I want neighborhoods in the city or around the city outskirts, going around the interstates, where we have the infrastructure for travel better. But down here, we just have more of a country we're living in, and we respect that, and we hope those that come down here respect that too. And that's really why we did that. It's just really wanted to save our future, where we could go out fish, we could go out and fish when we want to, go out and hunt when we want to, go down the creek and swim when we want to. So it's just a way of life that we saw it was encroaching on our life, and we wanted to try to give it a little. We respect development, but we wanted to have a guidance, a direction. So.
If no developers can afford to build that sort of development, though, isn't that kind of a backdoor to a more backdoor way of doing a moratorium?
Unfortunately, you're right, but and that's where I have an argument with trying to get folks to understand that, you gotta be supportive of affordable housing in the city. If you don't if you don't support affordable housing in and around the areas that actually need the housing, they're going to come down here. They're going to come down to the rural area to develop because the land's cheaper. And I hope that the past leaders seen that with this whole acre and a half that, if we get rid of affordable housing funding across Greenville County completely, they're just going to come down in the rural area. And I kind of see something like this as more as a preventative move in the future, and that's just how I see it. And you gotta, as a Republican, I get it. With when it comes to being against affordable housing because nobody gave you a break kind of mentality. But if you're looking at the 30,000 foot view of everything in the future, where are the developers going to go, where the land is cheaper, and that's down in the rural area. So, like I said, I believe that it's making an inconvenience. It's not stopping development. It's not stopping it one bit, but it's making it
It's
more controlled.
pushing it in a different
Yeah,
area than those
right.
rural
And
areas.
that's absolutely. That was a good. I believe that was a good move because someone noticed and someone seen how removing affordable housing out of the cities, they don't have nowhere else to go. Where the land is cheaper is in the rural areas, and they take over farmland. They take over. So I applaud that decision. I don't see it as a moratorium on getting rid of development. I just see it as being responsible that we don't want that kind of house on top of the house down here,
I heard a, and I mentioned this in a recent episode, but I got to experience a live gubernatorial forum with four of the people that are going to be doing primaries, and one of them had for the governor, and one of them had the idea. He mentioned that something like 90. Hold on, let me see if I can pull it up here real quick. It was an interesting quote. Okay, here we go. He said that, well, I thought I had it here. But it was something to the effect of that 90% of people live in 50% of. Oh, here we go. This was Alan Wilson, Attorney General Alan Wilson. He said 90% of South Carolina citizens live in 50% of South Carolina counties, and he wants to create more opportunities in those counties that are the other 50%. And I heard that, and I was like, "Ooh, that other 50% is not going to want to hear that," because that's exactly what we're talking about, is the counties that don't have as many people, that are it's the farmland, the pasture land, all of that.
I think what he's referring to is that the latest census report, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, the census came out with a forecast of where most of the people will be in 2030, 2040. And of course, our area is probably it's on course to be around I believe it's on course to be around the St. Louis, outside St. Louis kind of population and outside
Okay.
Dallas, Fort Worth. And so San Jose, California is actually a great example about the Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson area where it's heading. So, and we just want to try to protect that with the rural living. But
Sure.
going back to that Alan Wilson, I think he was referring to like counties like Allendale County or counties like up around for some odd reason. If you've I'm a data guy and you sound like you are too, but for some odd reason in the next 10 to 15 years, it seems to be a decrease in population along 95 for some reason across the state. I'm not sure. Other than
Interesting.
Florence, other than Florence County, I believe there is a decrease in population from Allendale all the way up through which nothing is in Allendale. And I think Wilson was actually referring to trying to give opportunities to those folks in the counties that don't have interstate commerce, that don't have
Sure.
interstate travel, and which honestly, I'm all for it. They'd probably be all for it because I think they want to keep their sons and daughters and folks nearby instead of the outskirts of the city. And
Yeah, I didn't
And
particularly have an
like,
issue with that, with his comment. It was more just when I heard it, I was
yeah.
like, there's gonna be some people that aren't gonna be happy. But to your point,
Well,
maybe there would be some people in some of these
yeah.
perhaps,
Oh, yeah,
counties that have been
absolutely.
left
Those
behind.
folks. Yeah, those folks along that 95 corridor, and I think there was a place they were trying to put a casino, which is not you can't do that in South Carolina, but they were wanting to change the law, which there's areas Bamberg, I believe Bamberg, and I'm trying to think Orangeburg, areas through there. They actually want development. They want industry, but because of the location, and as yours as a realtor, location, location, location.
That's right.
Greenville, Spartanburg, and Anderson is actually in a prime location because it's actually the halfway point between Atlanta and Charlotte. So that is a perfect location for businesses to put a hub
Absolutely.
in South Carolina. So, and that's really what's attracting people is because of the opportunity to the upstate. But at the same time, the other parts of the state is not doing as well as Greenville, Columbia, and Charleston. Either outside Charleston, Jasper County is doing great. I think Jasper was one of the fastest growing counties in the entire state right now. Everyone wants to move
Horry
down
County
there.
is one of the fastest in the entire
Or
nation.
yeah, so Ori, so which I believe Myrtle Beach, we always gets a bad rep, but I think Horry County is turning the corner. I think they're getting its act together, both financially and where they want to go, because they didn't have for the longest time. They never had a direction they wanted to go, and I feel like that things have improved a lot with Myrtle Beach. I think things have improved a lot with Atlantic City, and so things are getting better, but things are also the opposite in the state. I mentioned Allendale. Those folks are looking for jobs, and they have to
Sure.
travel a ways to just work at a decent wage. So, but like I said, I think Wilson was probably, and I'm not defending the guy or promoting the guy, but I'm just saying I think he was re referring to the counties that doesn't have the necessary wages for those to survive
Sure.
or opportunities that other counties have. So,
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, Daniel, I've kept you long enough on here, and you've been a great interview. But one final question here. At the end of the day, why should voters
okay.
vote for you? When on what was it, June 9th is the primary?
Yes.
June 9th, when why should the voters
Yeah.
vote for you on June 9th?
This is because Greenville County and South Greenville in particular, they need a different direction. We need a guiding. We need to know where we're going, and we don't know where we're going. And I feel like with my experience and with my temperament that we can actually get back on track. I feel like if you elected me, I'll fight for you. I'll fight to get the information. I'll know what the local issues are. I know what the state issues will be. And I have a guy. I believe in having a personal relationship with who represents you, and the one that represents you the most is normally your city councilman or county councilman
Yep.
or even the fire commissioner. They all know who you are. They represent you at a bigger impact because you can vote for president, national, anytime, but the person that impacts you the most is your fire commissioners, your sheriffs, your local county councilmen, city council. All they
100%.
affects you the most, and I want to be the next guy that South Greenville sends to Greenville because I feel like I have a good grasp on what we need. I feel like that I work hard to get what the folks need in their area, and it most of it's information. I also want to listen to you, so if you care, I like to love to talk to you more. Just go to my website, www.danielrumfelt.org, and or you can reach me through or Facebook. I'll be glad to talk to you.
And I'll put contact information for Daniel in the show notes. I think we just lost him there for a second, but I will put his information in the show notes, and then you guys can reach out to him as you want to. So that was Daniel Rumfelt, everyone, running for Greenville County Council in District 26. Again, primaries on June 9th. That primary will almost certainly determine who ends up winning the election. I'm not sure if there are any Democrats that are running, And so usually that Republican primary is where the person who wins is decided. So make sure you go out to vote on that day. And if you like this content, then please like it, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. If you want to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs, I would greatly appreciate you go into the contact information, you'll find all, or into the show notes, you'll find all of my contact information in there. And I'm going to put Daniel's information in there as well. So please feel free to reach out to him with any questions, check him out. Thank you guys so much, and we will talk again next time.